Welcome back, everybody, to the Front Row Show here on the mighty 790 KFGO. Daniel Pinto Gunnarsson sitting in from 6 to 8 with you here. Derek Hansen off tonight, so they asked me if I could sit in for the big guy, and I graciously accepted. Not an easy job to do to sit in for Derek Hansen, but I've stepped up to the plate. Continuing with our talk of NDSU football, we're going to talk to Josh Kinder, the sports editor for the Manhattan Mercury down in Manhattan, Kansas. This guy, he knows basically everything there is to know about Kansas State football. He's the beat writer for the Mercury that covers the Wildcats down in Manhattan. Figured I'd have to get an authoritative voice on the program to talk about NDSU's 2013 opening opponent. Josh, how you doing tonight?
Great, how are you?
I'm doing well, doing well. Beautiful night here in Fargo. Rather be probably outside doing something else. But the fact that I get to talk about NDSU football and their opening game against Kansas State with you kind of makes up for that a little bit.
Yeah, it could be a good game.
It sounds like it's going to be a great game. And one of the things that kind of goes in to this is these two teams are really on different paths right now. And this can be my opening question. Kansas State has lost a ton of players, namely Colin Klein from the offense, the Heisman candidate from last year, the Kansas State quarterback. While NDSU retains a ton of players from back-to-back national championship teams. So, Josh, what are the expectations for Kansas State knowing how many players they've lost?
Well, I think they still have a lot of high expectations. Losing Colin Klein is hard for any team to lose a guy like that. But if you look at the rest of that offensive unit, they bring back their entire offensive line, two of their starting receivers, their starting tailback, and they've got two pretty decent quarterbacks going for that starting job. Daniel Sams, who's a pretty highly recruited kid out of Louisiana a few years ago. He's only a sophomore now. He's a dual threat guy. He's a better runner than Colin in terms of speed, quickness. He's a more prototypical type of runner that you'd expect. Colin Klein was different, 6'5", 240. We didn't expect to see him run like that. The other guy is the JUCO Offensive Player of the Year last year, Jake Waters. He won a national title with Iowa Western a year ago. He can run, but he's known to be the passer of the two. He has a huge arm. He set the JUCO national record last year for completion percentage in a season, over 73%. Those guys are going for that job. We don't have any idea who's going to be it, but whoever gets it is inheriting a pretty good offense, especially with those five returning offensive linemen. The biggest holes, though, are on the defensive side. You know, they've lost nine starters on defense. That's hard to replace. I think any team, maybe outside of Alabama, would have a hard time plugging, you know, new guys in, especially in the unforgiving Big 12, you know, the offenses that they have to face week in, week out. So we'll see. I think that's the biggest question mark, though, is on defense.
Going back to the quarterbacks, and I have a ton of questions when it comes to the defense. I'm looking at numbers here for your defense, for Kansas State's defense. Top five defensive linemen, three of the four starting linebackers, three of the four starting defensive backs for the defense. That's a hard number to replace. Like you said, nine starters from last year. But going to the quarterback situation, really hard for any team, no matter what the position, to replace a Heisman candidate like Colin Klein. But when I look at these quarterbacks, Jake Waters and Daniel Sams, to me, with the way Kansas State ran their offense last year, Sams seems like the more ready quarterback to step into that starting role. Would you agree with that assessment? Do you believe Sams is going to be the opening game starter, or do you think they're going to go with the kind of Waters will play these series, Sams will play that series?
I think they'd prefer to have the one guy. I think Coach Snyder would prefer to have that. He's done the two-headed thing before, you know, and didn't always work out, you know, the best. Sams would be the logical choice. I think he will get the ball probably on game one. He does know the system. You know, he's been here longer, and he's a redshirt, and then he played last year a little bit behind Colin. Didn't throw the ball a lot. I think he was 6 of 8 passing a year ago, but he's extremely good with the ball in his hands on the ground. He's really dynamic. I mean, I think he scored 4 touchdowns in the first 2 games and wasn't even touched. He could be a big-time playmaker for this team, especially in this offense. It's a multiple offense. They can do pretty much whatever they want based on the personnel. and you look at Colin Klein, as great as he was, and he was great at doing what he did, there were limitations in the passing game when he was a quarterback. He didn't have a big arm, couldn't throw the ball 50, 60 yards down the field, just didn't have it. Daniel Sams can do that, and Jake Waters can really do that. Both of them have big arms. We haven't seen a lot of Daniel to know how accurate he can be consistently. And we haven't seen Jake at the, you know, Division I level. You know, he did it at the JUCO level, but was extremely good doing it. Part of me, I've covered K-State for so long, and I feel like Coach Snyder wants to be able to throw the ball, really wants to be able to throw it. He's always going to run it with the quarterback. That's always going to be part of the offense. But I really think he wants to be able to air it out at times as well. And I think Jake might offer more in doing that, because people like to, you know, pigeonhole these guys. One's a runner, one's a passer, but Jake can run. Jake Waters can run the ball. He's not going to run it like Daniel, but he can still run the ball.
Talking with Josh Kinder, the sports editor for the Manhattan Mercury down in Manhattan, Kansas, beat writer, guy who covers Kansas State. How long have you been covering Kansas State for?
Since 98.
Wow. Well, that's a lot of good football that you've had an opportunity to watch. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Was 98 the year, or was it earlier than that, when Kansas State had just this unbelievable team and went into the Big 12 championship game against Texas A&M, I want to say, and then it ended up losing, what was it, two overtimes?
Yes.
Was that your first year on the beat?
They were number one in the country that year, and then the heartbreaker at the end.
I could hear it in your voice already.
It changed the scope of football, you know, that losing that game. You know, to be a number one team of the country in the final week, and you get stuck playing in the Alamo Bowl.
Yeah, that.
You know, I mean, they changed the rules because of that. There's all those bowls were already aligned with teams because they all assumed K-State was going to make it to the title game. So when they lost, they fell badly to the Alamo Bowl and then got beat by Purdue because none of their players wanted to play in that game.
Well, that's just a disappointing drop-off when you're thinking, all we have to do is get past the Aggies. We'll be in the national championship. Our school, not really known as a national powerhouse, we can really put them on the map, and then all of a sudden it gets taken away from you because Texas A&M played a brilliant game, and that kind of transitions it into last year for Kansas State. They were as high as number one at one point and really started to falter towards the end of the season. You think of that Baylor game last year where Baylor, offensively just an unbelievable school, coming off Robert Griffin III being, you know, went to the NFL, came out, beat Kansas State by 28 points. And now you come into this year after such high hopes from the 2012 season. The 2013 season, I don't know if a lot of people know who the best returning players are for the Wildcats. You had a write-up in the Mercury, I think it was yesterday, about a running back by the name of John Hubert, guy who ran for 950-some yards last year, 947, and unbelievable talent. He had 970 as a sophomore. You'd have to list him as one of the best returning players. Who else does Kansas State have coming back?
Well, I mean, Hubert's great. I mean, and Hubert, as good as he's been at running back, you know, he's been second fiddle to Colin Klein when it comes to running the ball. Colin's had more yards than he has. But John knows this is his chance. You know, they're going to rely on him. He's going to become a bigger part of this offense with that new quarterback because they know what they have in John Hubert. I mean, this guy broke the Waco City League rushing record in high school, the one that was owned by Tomlinson.
Wow.
I mean, he's good. And he's always played with this chip on his shoulder because he's only 5'7", you know, not quite 200 pounds. And he was fairly, you know, unrecruited out of high school, even after breaking that record. Baylor, in his hometown, didn't even offer him. So he's played with that chip on his shoulder this whole time. You know, he's been at K-State. You know, even when he got here, everyone was talking about Bryce Brown. He was going to be the guy. Well, he fizzled out after three games, quit the program, and it's been John Hubert ever since. He could be a huge key to what they do this season offensively.
Go ahead. Sorry, Josh.
Well, you know, you look at the receivers. I mean, these two quarterbacks, we don't know who it's going to be. But, you know, they get the big offensive line. They got the big uglies in front of them. All five of them are coming back. There's three all Big 12 players among that five. But he also gets two pretty decent receivers, Tremaine Thompson and Tyler Lockett. They're also the punt returner and the kick returner, among the best in the country at doing that. They're deep threat guys. They're not real big. You know, they're pretty short in stature, but they can be big, you know, playmakers for this team and for the new quarterback. I mean, the biggest part is they lose Chris Harper. He was their big guy threat on, you know, on the outside as a receiver. So they've got to find some new people for that spot.
Now, going back to Hubert, it seems like Coach Bill Snyder has had something to do with small stature running backs. Looking at his size, Hubert's 5'7", 191 pounds. Probably the most recognizable name from Kansas State as far as a running back is concerned is Darren Sproles, who I think is all of like 4'10". You know, short guy, but does that play into it, his size, when you talk about the chip on his shoulder?
Yeah, he's not afraid. I mean, Coach Snyder's not afraid of taking small guys, first of all. And believe it or not, John Hubert's not the smallest running back on this roster. His backup this season is 5'5".
Wow.
Robert Rose, and he's like a water bug. I mean, you can't see him. I mean, Coach Snyder loves these little guys because we have an offensive line that averages 6'4", 6'5", across the front, over 300 pounds. You don't see the guys that are 5'5", 5'6". They pop around the corner before, you know, it's too late. He loves using that to the advantage. And that's why, you know, Sproles was he was pretty under-recruited as well because of his size. So he's not afraid of taking those guys, and those guys aren't afraid of coming here because they know they'll get a fair shot with Coach Snyder. You know, he's not going to judge them based on how tall they are. But Hubert is powerful. That's the thing that, you know, he's not going to beat you in a foot race. You get in a foot race with him, he may not break one for 80 yards. But he'll get you 50 or 60 before he gets run down. But he's also a power guy. He calls himself a power running back, believe it or not, at 5'7". And he's pretty good. He keeps the leg moving. He finds his holes. He's a patient guy. You know, he uses what he has and realizes he does have limitations.
Talking with Josh Kinder, the sports editor from the Mercury newspaper. Josh, where can you check out your work online for those here in the Fargo area that may want to read up on K-State as the game approaches August 30th?
TheMercury.com, www.TheMercury.com.
So you got to check out Josh Kinder's work. He had a great write-up about the guy we just got done talking about, John Hubert. A couple more questions for you. Thank you again for joining me here on the Front Row Show. This has been great. One of the questions I have, with NDSU playing at the Division I AA, the FCS level, whatever you want to call it, they kind of play the little brother, in a sense, when they go play these FBS schools. And they've done an unbelievable job in 9 games. This school, NDSU, is 6-3 against FBS schools. Now, granted, they haven't played big-time names like Kansas State. And Kansas State is a big-time college when it comes to football. Last year, they beat Colorado State. They've beat Minnesota twice, lost to Wyoming a couple years back, have lost to Iowa State, and beat Kansas in one of the ugliest games I've ever seen in my life, a 6-3 game, which I'm sure Manhattan just loved to watch anyways, but the Jayhawks in a field goal game when NDSU really had no shot winning that game, they walk away with a 6-3 victory. So the question for me, you're down in Manhattan, what does K-State, the fan base, first know about NDSU, and then how do they feel about the fact that their football team, the Wildcats, are going to open up with this FCS school?
I don't know that I don't think they know a lot about them. You know, K-State's played a lot of, you know, 1AA opponents over the years. You know, and they've beaten all of them, at least under Coach Snyder. Different story back in the late 80s. You know, but I think they're aware. I mean, I think they're aware of how good the Bison are. I think they know that. I don't know that any of them feel like K-State's going to lose, to be honest with you. I know the fan bases have already kind of started a little bit of chatter back and forth on the message boards. You know, this is, and that's one thing that we've written about a little bit, you know, in our preview section that's coming out later this month, is that, you know, this isn't your typical 1AA opponent that you put on, you know, on the schedule in week one to get that first win and, you know, work on your depth. This isn't one of those games. You know, this is a game that, you know, if K-State doesn't take them seriously, they could lose. And they could lose at home on a Friday night. It's a rare Friday night game. And it's a kind of a big day for K-State. You know, they went through a huge stadium renovation in the offseason. They're opening basically their new stadium that night. They don't want to lose to that. They don't want to lose at home on that night, especially. No matter who it is that they're playing. But I think they'll be ready.
Do you think there's some added incentive for this group of players under Bill Snyder because it's the renovation to the stadium, so basically opening a new stadium. The game, which was supposed to be a Saturday game, got moved to a national televised, you know, audience on Fox Sports 1, which it kind of blew my mind a little bit that Fox Sports 1, not the fact that they tagged Kansas State as a game because Kansas State's going to draw an audience regardless, but the fact that it was Kansas State versus an FCS program. And from what I understand, I believe this is the first college football game that Fox Sports 1 is going to have on their, you know, network, that which they kick off 2 weeks prior. Does that at all, do you think, from a personal standpoint, Josh, play into the mindset of these Kansas State players going, hey, boy, they really respect us? Or do they even look at it and go, boy, they must really respect NDSU if they're going to put it on a national network program? Or does that just not even factor into their mindset?
Well, this K-State team over the years, they always seem to play with a chip on the shoulder because no one really does seem to respect them for whatever reason. I mean, look at Colin Klein a year ago. I mean, he was a guy that, you know, everyone basically said, well, if he loses the game, he loses the Heisman. He was the one guy who had to go undefeated to win the Heisman Trophy. Yet Johnny Manziel, he can lose three or four games and he's a shoe-in. You know, so they looked at that as disrespect. It's also the same kind of thing when you look in the Big 12 Conference. K-State's picked, they're picked sixth this year. Defending champions picked sixth.
Yeah.
A year ago when they won it, they were picked eighth. Year before that, they were picked sixth. They were second. I mean, you know, so they've always proved people wrong. But that's, you know, I think the worst nightmare for Coach Snyder was if his team was actually picked to win it. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, the joke is how much is he paying the reporters to keep putting them down there at the bottom of the league? because he fuels it. He fuels that fire with these guys. A lot of these guys will downplay it. Oh, you know, we don't get respect. You know, but, you know, we don't really pay a lot of attention to it either. You know, I think they do. And I think the coaching staff will harp on it, and they use it as motivation. It's always been that underdog role. And it's the same kind of role that, you know, that the Bison have, too, being a 1AA opponent going into a, you know, a big school environment like that on a opening night on national TV. I think both these teams kind of might carry that persona with them, you know, that no one respects us. You know, I think both teams are playing for a lot that night.
Yeah.
Which is great. Great to see on week one.
Oh, yeah.
Normally you don't see that week one. But that's what's so great about that game.
I think that for NDSU fans, it's an opportunity, and a lot of them, and I'll kind of calm that fire down because I don't believe NDSU, this is the first time I'm saying it, but I don't believe NDSU walks into Kansas State and wins this game. They are most likely going to win another national championship. That's what I believe. They're that good. They return pretty much everybody from last year's national championship team, minus a fullback and a tight end here or there. But they basically return everybody, not only from last year's national championship team, but the year before that.
Right.
But this game for them is a measuring stick of how good this team is in an overall kind of broad, you know, landscape of things. And things around here for the team have changed. They've closed practice off to the media, which is kind of rare for the FCS to do. They open it up for the first 15 minutes, and then they have interviews after. But for our beat writer here in town for the newspaper, he's having a huge problem with it because that was his, you know, that's what he did. He'd go down to practice, stand around, get to know the players, but they won't allow anybody to do that anymore. And Coach Bull has been asked that question several times over the last couple of weeks. So they're really approaching this as a kind of one of those moments where this is a big game, a measuring stick for them. So it's going to be a lot of fun. August 30th, kickoff is 7:30. It's a great game. I know we're a long ways away from it, but that's what everybody's going to be talking about is you going down to Manhattan here in the Fargo area. You're going to be there. Going to be a lot of fun. One more question before I let you go, and I've kept you a lot longer, but one more question. I'm headed down to Manhattan on that Friday. I think I'll be doing our local sports station here, 740 The Fan. It has a noon show. Hopefully I'll be doing that one from, I don't know where, but I'll be doing it in Manhattan. I'm going to need a bite to eat. I'm going to need local flavor when I get down to Manhattan. Best food joint in the Manhattan area that I can get some food at.
First of all, you have to go to Aggieville. Aggieville is the place to be.
Okay.
It's the bar, local restaurant strip. It's where the party is every night.
Okay.
So Long Saloon. Can't go wrong with So Long Saloon.
Okay.
Or Coco Bolo's. Both local flavors in Aggieville. That's where you should go.
Okay. I've written it down. Oh, the other question I have for you. I got a ton, but the tailgating situation at Kansas State, because NDSU It's a you can have alcohol at the tailgate area at the NDSU before the game. How do they do it in Kansas State? Because there's no alcohol allowed, no drinking. It's prohibited. Is it kind of a hush-hush under the table, we'll put it in the Coke bottles kind of thing, or how do they do that
there? It's a hush-hush, better be drinking out of a plastic cup.
Okay, okay. That's kind of what I assume.
Keep the glass put away, keep the cans put away, pick up your trash, and as long as you're not being crazy, no one's going to mess with you.
Perfect. Hey, you know, Josh Kinner of the Mercury, the Sports Air, thank you for joining me here on the Front Row Show. A great discussion. I'm going to make sure there's a lot of people around here in the KFGO family that want to talk Bison football. I'm going to make sure and give them your information because you're going to be a guy I think a lot of them are going to want to contact and try to get some information for as this game approaches. Big deal for NDSU fans, biggest FBS game, probably the biggest regular season game in school history. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'll hope to connect with you when we're down in Manhattan. So thank you again for coming on the show, and have a great rest of the night, Josh. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
That was Joshua Kinder of the Manhattan Mercury down in Manhattan, Kansas. We went very long with that interview, but a lot of good stuff here to kind of fill up some time here on the Front Row Show talking about Kansas State. It's here before you know it. I think it's 3 weeks. Tomorrow will be the kickoff between Kansas State and North Dakota State University, the kickoff to the 2013 season and NDSU's opportunity, chance to try and three-peat as national champions. We're going to take a break when we come back. More from Jack Michaels as he's out at Jack Williams Stadium. Legion Baseball update right here on the Front Row Show on the mighty 790 KFGO.